The Dropout Diaries. The Dropout Diaries.
While millions of students are sitting in classrooms following predetermined curricula, there are people out there designing their own education, learning exactly what they need to know exactly
when they need to know it, and often achieving more than their traditionally educated peers.
I'm Ryan Carter, and this is The Dropout Diaries, where we explore what happens when people take full responsibility for their own learning and career development. Homeschooling, while often debated, clearly offers a unique path, especially for entrepreneurial spirits. Emma Watson's case highlights the flexibility it can provide.
Absolutely. That self-directed learning coupled with real-world projects can be a powerful incubator for a business acumen. It's almost like a built-in internship from day one.
It's interesting, right? The input text mentions unschooling. This philosophy really leans into self-directed learning. Kids pursue their passions and parents facilitate rather than dictate.
I mean, how does that translate to entrepreneurial success later on, though?
Well, think about it. Unschooling fosters self-motivation, resourcefulness, and the ability to identify and pursue opportunities. These are all core entrepreneurial traits, not to mention the time management skills you develop juggling diverse projects.
Yeah, the ability to carve your own path, I see that. But traditional education emphasizes structured learning, standardized testing. Where does that fit in this entrepreneurial equation?
It's not that one is inherently better. There are different approaches. Traditional schooling provides a broad base of knowledge, which is valuable. But homeschooling, particularly with a focus on real-world application, can fast-track certain skills, especially in rapidly evolving fields like digital marketing.
Right, like digital marketing. Emma Watson, Building a Digital Empire, really underscores that. The article highlights the explosion of digital marketing during the pandemic. So many people went online, creating opportunities for those with the skills to navigate that landscape.
Exactly. And someone like Emma Watson, homeschooled and immersed in the digital world from a young age, is uniquely positioned to capitalize on that. She's not just learning theory, she's building, experimenting, failing, and adapting in real time.
The input text mentions a math gap among homeschoolers. Yeah? Could that be a hindrance in certain business ventures?
Potentially, yes. But it depends on the nature of the business, and it's not insurmountable. Targeted online courses, mentors, or even community college classes can address specific skill gaps. The key is recognizing the need and being proactive.
That adaptability is key. The article also mentions various homeschooling approaches, classical education, Montessori, Waldorf, such a range. How do parents even choose what's best for their entrepreneur kid?
It's about aligning the approach with the child's learning style and interests, as well as the desired entrepreneurial outcomes. A highly structured approach might suit a child drawn to traditional business models, while unschooling might be better for a creative innovator. There's no one-size-fits-all answer.
And mentorship, right? That's huge. The article touches on the role of mentors in informal learning. Connecting with experienced entrepreneurs can provide invaluable guidance and real-world insights that you just can't get from a textbook.
Absolutely. Mentors can open doors, offer advice, and provide a crucial support network, especially in the early stages of building a business. They've been there, done that, and can help navigate the inevitable challenges.
The article also discussing the legal aspects of homeschooling, how regulations vary widely. Could that impact a homeschooled entrepreneur's ability to operate across state lines or even internationally?
It's a good question. It's definitely something to be aware of. Navigating different regulations and requirements could add complexity, especially for businesses involving licensing or certifications. But again, it's about being informed and proactive.
The input text mentions research on homeschooling outcomes being limited and often biased. It makes it hard to draw definitive conclusions about its impact on entrepreneurial success.
That's true. More robust representative research is needed. But anecdotal evidence, like Emma Watson's story, and the increasing number of homeschooled entrepreneurs suggests it can be a viable, even advantageous path.
It really challenges the conventional notion that a traditional degree is the only route to entrepreneurial success. Emma Watson, at just 19, developing a revolutionary marketing automation tool, that's a compelling counter-narrative.
It is. It speaks to the power of personalized learning, real-world experience, and the entrepreneurial mindset. It's not about rejecting traditional education, but recognizing that there are multiple pathways to success, each with its own strengths and challenges.
So we were talking about research into homeschooling outcomes, and it's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it?
It is a real challenge to draw firm conclusions. The input text mentions limited research, potential biases. It's tricky.
Yeah. And then there's the data about homeschooled kids being less likely to pursue STEM fields, that math gap thing. Concerning, right?
Potentially. But the flip side is the apparent strength in creative fields. I mean, think about the potential there. Innovation often comes from outside the box, from those who think differently.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps this different educational path fosters that.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. It's not a deficit then, but a different kind of strength?
Precisely. It challenges the assumption that everyone needs the same educational foundation. Entrepreneurs especially often thrive on breaking the mold, right? Maybe a non-traditional approach actually fuels that.
Yeah, I see. But the input text also mentions some less positive social outcomes, like the 2009 UK study about homeschoolers being neat, not in employment, education, or training at a higher rate.
That's not worrisome.
It is. But, and this is important, the quality of research in this area is often questionable. The input text itself highlights the reliance on parental or self-assessment, the demographic biases. It's hard to get a truly objective picture.
Right. So we need to take those findings with a grain of salt. The input also mentions homeschoolers scoring higher on self-concept, which is linked to positive social outcomes. How do we reconcile these conflicting data points?
Well, it's complex. One possibility is that homeschooling creates a different social landscape. The input talks about homeschoolers having diverse age ranges in their social circles.
Mm.
Maybe that fosters different but equally valuable social skills.
A different kind of social development, yeah? Not necessarily worse, just different. But what about the potential for isolation? The input mentions that too.
That's a valid concern, but again, it's a nuanced issue. The input suggests that while some homeschoolers might experience more social isolation, it could also lead to greater independence and self-determination. And those are crucial for entrepreneurial success.
So it's a trade-off. Potentially less conventional social interaction, but potentially more self-reliance. It's fascinating how these different aspects interact.
Exactly. And it underscores the need for more rigorous research. We need to move beyond anecdotes and biased studies to truly understand the long-term impacts of homeschooling, both socially and in terms of entrepreneurial success.
Mm. There's a lot more to uncover here.
So we're diving into digital marketing, and wow, there's a lot to unpack here. It's fascinating how much it's evolved, right?
It really is. I mean, from those early HTML websites to the sophisticated data-driven campaigns we see today, it's a whole different world.
Yeah. The input text mentions the shift from physical shops to digital platforms. That's huge. It completely changes the game for marketers.
Absolutely. Think about it. No more limited list brokers. Now we have massive databases tracking every click, every interaction. It's all about personalization now.
Right. That's what struck me about this text. It emphasizes data-driven marketing, behavioral targeting. It's almost unnerving how much information is being collected, isn't it?
Well, it can be. The input text mentions concerns about consumer privacy and data protection with online behavioral advertising. It's a valid point. But the flip side is that it allows for incredibly targeted advertising. Businesses can reach the exact right customer at the exact right moment.
Yeah, I see that. It's a trade-off, I suppose. But what about the effectiveness of these targeted ads? I mean, the text also talks about prioritizing clicks being an ineffective strategy.
Right. Just because someone clicks doesn't mean they convert. The text points out that click-through rates for display ads can be incredibly low. It's not the whole picture.
So what is the whole picture then? How do we measure an effectiveness in this complex digital landscape?
Well, the input text discusses cross-platform measurement. It's about looking at the entire customer journey, not just the last click. Understanding how different channels interact, how they contribute to brand awareness, and ultimately, sales.
Oh, that makes sense. It's not just about clicks, but about building that brand awareness, right? The text emphasizes that too.
Exactly. And that's where content marketing comes in. Providing valuable content, engaging with consumers on social media. It's all part of building that relationship, that trust.
Yeah, I see. The input text mentions influencer marketing too. That seems to be a big piece of the puzzle these days.
Huge. Leveraging those key individuals within communities can amplify your message, reach a wider audience. It's word of mouth on steroids, really.
But how do you measure the ROI of something like influencer marketing? It seems a bit nebulous.
It can be. There are tools and metrics, of course, but it's also about the less tangible things, brand perception, social engagement. It's not always easy to quantify.
Right, right. And the text touches on the challenges of balancing search and display advertising. It seems like finding the right mix is key. It is. The text suggests that display advertising is crucial for building brand awareness, while search advertising capitalizes on that awareness by targeting specific keywords.
It's about synergy, not competition.
Yeah. And what about mobile? The text highlights its importance, but also the challenges. People are spending so much time on their phones, but capturing their attention is harder than ever.
Exactly. The text mentions that most of a user's time is spent on just a handful of apps. So how do you break through that clutter? How do you make your message stand out without being intrusive?
Well, that's where creativity and understanding user behavior come in. The input text mentions things like in-game advertising, video advertising, even SMS marketing. It's about finding the right channel for the right audience.
So digital marketing, it's not just about flashy ads anymore, is it? This input text really dives into the complexity of it all.
It really does. It's a whole ecosystem evolving so rapidly. I mean, think about the shift from traditional marketing to this data-driven, personalized approach. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. The input text mentions the three stages of digital marketing: planning, opportunity, strategy, and action. It's a pretty structured approach, right?
It is. And it highlights the importance of data analysis. Understanding your KPIs, your target audience, the customer journey, it's all crucial. No more shooting in the dark.
Right. The empathy map idea is interesting. Trying to get inside the consumer's head. I mean, it sounds a bit touchy-feely, but I get the logic.
It's about understanding their motivations, their pain points. What are they really looking for? It's not just about demographics anymore, but psychographics too.
Yeah. And predictive analytics. That's powerful stuff. Using data to anticipate future behavior, it's almost not creepy how accurate it can be.
Well, it can be, but it allows marketers to be so much more targeted, more effective. It's about delivering the right message to the right person at the right time.
The input text also talks about the sharing economy and how it's disrupting traditional marketing channels. That's a huge shift, isn't it?
It is. It's changing the way we think about ownership, about access to resources. It's creating new opportunities for marketers, but also new challenges.
Yeah. And the legal landscape is changing too. The input text mentions the Digital Services Act in Europe, California's legislation on online advertising. It's getting more and more regulated, isn't it?
It is. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Protecting consumer privacy, ensuring ethical data practices, it's important. It's about finding a balance between innovation and responsibility.
Right. And the input text touches on the challenges of disinformation and fake news. That's a dark side of the digital age, isn't it?
It is. And it's something marketers need to be mindful of, ensuring the accuracy of their messaging, avoiding manipulative tactics. It's crucial for building trust, for maintaining credibility.
The input also discusses the importance of integrating paid, owned, and earned media. It's not just about buying ads anymore, right? It's about building a holistic strategy.
Exactly. Content marketing, social media engagement, influencer marketing. It's all part of the mix. It's about creating a cohesive brand experience across all channels.
Yeah. And mobile. The text highlights the challenges of reaching consumers on their phones. It's such a fragmented landscape, isn't it?
It is. People are spending so much time on their phones, but capturing their attention is harder than ever. It's about being creative, about understanding user behavior, about finding those moments of receptivity.
Right, right. It's a constantly evolving game. Marketers need to be adaptable, always learning, always experimenting. It's exciting, but also a bit daunting, isn't it?
It is, but that's what makes it so dynamic, so challenging, so rewarding. It's a field where innovation never stops, and that's what keeps it so fascinating. It really is. The next time someone tells you there's only one path to success or that you need specific credentials to pursue your dreams, remember that some of the most innovative and successful people you'll encounter learned to trust their own judgment about what knowledge was worth acquiring and how to acquire it. Education is essential, but there are more ways to get educated than there are ways to get degrees.